نسألك
يا من هو الله الذي لا إله.
مركز صحابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مركز صحابة, The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. We welcome you to this program. It is with Mulana Salman Yunus, Hafidhahullah. The date today is the 15th of Dhul Qadah, 1446. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, all is well. Mulana, how's things on your side?
Alhamdulillah, all is good this time. Having some good weather as well, alhamdulillah. Everything continuing as normal.
Alhamdulillah. Mulana Ji, what does Mulana want to address today?
Today, inshallah, I thought last week, alhamdulillah, we've done regarding Hajj and being ready for Hajj from our own capacity, our own capability, what actions we can do regarding it so that when that call comes, then we are ready, inshallah, for Hajj. And we have about maybe, say, 3 more weeks till Qurbani, till the actual days of Hajj begin. But the atmosphere of Hajj, we can already feel, we can already experience it and witnessing it. With so many Hujjaj leaving, going to the blessed lands, alhamdulillah. And now we feel also, we see many places getting ready for Qurbani. People are getting ready to purchase the animal, to go and see the animal. And the spirit of Hajj and Qurbani is alive, alhamdulillah, in the Ummah. And this is a very great sign of Iman amongst us, that this great right of Islam, we have this enthusiasm, we have this desire to fulfill. So inshallah, maybe closer to the other weeks, we'll discuss more in detail regarding the actual rituals of Hajj and that of Qurbani as well. But I thought for the time being, inshallah, for this week, that many of us, when it comes to the Hajj, come to the Qurbani, then there is one name that is synonymous during these times, and that is none other than Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, that we find from his actions, from his sacrifices, from his efforts, from his tests that Allah Ta'ala had put him through, then these were the fruits of it, that we have this blessed actions which we perform during these days. And it is so beloved to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala made it part of Islam, made it a part which we as Muslims still follow and has incorporated into this beautiful deen of Islam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, many of us growing up, we learned about Ibrahim alayhi salam through the maktab system. We heard of him as a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And now too, we'll hear of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam many a time, of the incident of where he was tested with the sacrifice of his son. But if we study the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then we'll find that there were so many incidents, so many times that Allah Ta'ala had put him through various tests, various ways to prove his obedience and his love of Allah Ta'ala. And this is something which we should always remember, that the Anbiya alayhimus salam, they were tested to the greatest of lengths. The greatest tests were given to the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Why? Because they were the most beloved to Allah Ta'ala. They had the greatest love of Allah Ta'ala. And someone who has the greatest love, then he is prepared to sacrifice everything for you. He is prepared to go through whatever difficulties, because to him, the only thing that matters is the beloved. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what he has to go through. Every what we will look at as a difficulty becomes enjoyable in the sight of him. Why? Because everything he knows that my beloved is watching, it's for my beloved. And this creates more love and more enjoyment. So while we see so much of tests, hardships for them, there is more and more enjoyment. So when we look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, Quran speaks on numerous incidents of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And to go through each one, that will take us hours on end. One is to look at the story, the incidents on face value, and the other is to delve into it, to attack it and see what lessons as believers to bring out. So I thought, inshallah, today, maybe we'll see how many incidents we can actually touch on, but more so than that there, to bring out the lessons into our lives that we are hearing of Ibrahim alayhi salam so often. But what do I learn? What did I learn from Ibrahim alayhi salam? And we see our close link with Ibrahim alayhi salam as Muslims, that in every single salah, we read what we know as Durood Ibrahim. Every single salah, the name of Ibrahim alayhi salam is also mentioned. This in itself will tell us our close link that we have with Ibrahim alayhi salam. So in one of the incidents we know of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was growing up in the house of his father, who was known as Azar, the Quran mentions Azar. And Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in such a house and in such an environment, such a city, that idol worship was the norm. Idol worship was the main thing, and everyone was involved in this. The entire city, the entire community was involved in this. And to compound this, Ibrahim alayhi salam even grew up in the house which used to manufacture these idols, used to make these idols. His father, Azar, was an idol maker. He used to sculpt it, he should form it, and people used to come and purchase it from him, and he was known for this year. He was known for this year. Even if you look at some of the explanations of the word Azar in the Hebrew languages, then it translates to one who is devoted, one who is loved for idols. So nevertheless, Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in such a house. But look at what a house he grew up in, and look at what an end result he ended up. He ended up as one of the greatest Nabis of Allah Ta'ala ever to come. He ended up as the father of all the rest of the Anbiya alayhi salam to come. And this is the first lesson we can take from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is that our environment, our background, our family, our surname, our financial standings, the piety of our family as well, that does not necessitate and determine our future. That does not mean now that a person is coming from a pious background, family of ulama, family of kuffars, automatically he is going to be guided. No way. And on the opposite is true also. A person coming from a non-deeni background, from a background of modernists, from a people who are drunkards or committing sins and not cared of Islam, that he is going to be off track as well. Rather, guidance is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Hidayat is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, to an extent, our environment does spur us forward, does encourage us, does motivate us to follow that same environment. And environment does play a pivotal role. But look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Allah Ta'ala wants to guide a heart, when Allah Ta'ala wants to protect someone from evil, then none can make him enter into that evil. If Allah wants to guide their heart, then none can misguide their heart. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is showing us this lesson here. Even if you look at this incident of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam grew up at the time of Makkah, where the mushriks, where shirk was so vile, so open, and that was the order of the day. But Allah Ta'ala protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam from all sorts of filth, all sorts of evils. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with this message of Tawheed. He ignited this message of Tawheed and taught it to the people, and today we see how many billions of Muslims there are in the world. Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salam came with this message of Tawheed. Quran says very beautifully that Ibrahim alayhi salam was not a Jew, was not a Christian, but rather he came with this one Hanifa, with this one complete pure way of life, this upright way of life in which to guide mankind towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. So while there might be a big outcry in the world today, where we see the Abrahamic Accord being pushed, where we see that people are saying that Jews, Christians, Muslims unite because we all accept Ibrahim alayhi salam. But if you look at the reality behind it, Ibrahim alayhi salam called towards Tawheed. He never called towards Trinity. He never called towards being someone, the Son of God. Rather, he called towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. So these things which the world is trying to push today, these mindsets, these ideologies, we must be very wary about it, because now we might think that we say Ibrahim alayhi salam and we believe him to be such a great Nabi of Allah. So we are also following his way, just like how the others are following him. And this could be a trap for our iman. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, we accept him as the Quran has told us. And at the end of it, our deen and our only religion is that of Islam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in this home. And he always had this dislike. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with his intelligence, with his understanding. And he, many a times, he used to speak to his father, speak to the community, tell them, what are you worshipping this that cannot benefit you, that cannot harm you, that cannot even move a fly, example, if it comes on it, it cannot even speak. Why are you worshipping these things? And the common answer that used to be given is that this is what our forefathers used to do. This is what our forefathers used to do. And in today's time, we find this very common, sadly, amongst Muslims as well. At certain times, we are having certain functions, or we are having certain occasions, and we are making it part of Islam, but we do not even know how it is part of Islam. We do not even know why we are doing it, but we are just doing it because our fathers used to do it, our grandfathers used to do it. So let us have this function now, or let us have this gathering at home. These were the same answers that was given at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they did not have any valid grounds. They did not have any understanding for why they are worshipping the idols except for this one line. And when you have to look at it logically, when you have to look at it from any perspective, it made no sense that we knew who is manufacturing these idols, and now we are purchasing these idols, and now we are worshipping these idols. So a person, an onlooker, a person with intelligence, he will realize the fallacy behind this here. He will realize the downgrading and the imperfection behind all of these aspects. So another lesson we see is that whenever we do anything, we have to have sound knowledge. We have to have knowledge of deen. We have to put ourselves forward to go and learn deen and learn the pure, pristine deen as we have. Because if we do not do this, and especially for our children, especially for our kids, if we do not give them that pure deen, then one day if they are going into the world, whichever field they might get, they might venture into, whether it's a business field, whether it's the academic or the trades, or even if they're going to end up in the universities, then all it takes is one person to come and speak to them and to win them over with flowery words. And then they'll see how they think this to be correct. Why? Because they do not have the proper deen, the proper Islam, the proper knowledge within them to understand that this is what is correct, this is what is Islam, and this is what is it, and this is not what is Islam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, firstly, he grew up in that home. Secondly, he grew up in a community that was doing stuff with no knowledge, but rather because their forefathers were doing it. But look at it all. When the time came, as I said, we're not going to go into every detail of the incident, but rather just to pull some lessons which we can apply in today's time. When the time came, then Ibrahim alayhi salam saw that, you know what, I can't do anything here. There's nothing that can be done. And that is where he realized now the doubt had to end. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's doubt was of such a unique nature, such a unique nature of inviting people. If you look at various incidents, example, when it came to the, after destroying all the idols, and the people came back to the town, and they saw the biggest idol still remaining, and they called Ibrahim alayhi salam, which Quran describes him as a young boy, as a young boy. And we'll touch on this a little bit just now, inshallah. But Quran describes him as a young boy, and they called him, and they summoned him, and they asked him, oh Ibrahim, what has happened here? What have you done? And he told them, ask the big idol if it can speak. Ask the big idol if it can speak. And they all lowered their heads in shame, and they even admitted, Quran mentions, that they said, this idol cannot speak. It cannot speak. So rather than Ibrahim alayhi salam addressing them directly and telling them, why you're worshipping this that it cannot speak? After that, yes, Ibrahim alayhi salam brought their attention. Once they admitted, once they understood, now Ibrahim alayhi salam brought all the things. It cannot speak. It cannot benefit you. It cannot harm you. But Ibrahim alayhi salam did not just tackle them directly. He made them realize their faults within themselves through this brilliant strategy that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. That now they realize, oh, he caught us. That we want to know what happened. We can't even ask our big idol, where they can't even speak. and then he used that chance. Similarly, at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, remember we're talking about the wisdom of Ibrahim alayhi salam here. When it came to idol worship, at the same time, the people of his time used to worship the sun, the moon, the stars. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, rather than just calling them out and telling him, how can you worship these bodies in the sky? How can you worship this creation that has nothing to do whatever to help you? He actually, in front of all the people, he told them, you know what? This was a means of learning purposes. He says, there was a star that was shining more brighter than the rest of the stars. And he said, perhaps this is our Lord. Perhaps this is our Lord. And everyone got amazed. But then as the star disappeared, the shine came down. He says, no, no, this can't be our Lord. I don't like something that disappears. And then there was a full moon. And he says, perhaps this is our Lord. And everyone is listening to him. And then as the morning approached, the moon disappeared. He says, no, 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 I don't like that which disappears. My Lord must always be there. And then the big sun rose in the morning. And he says, perhaps this is our Lord. And everyone got amazed again. Ibrahim al-Salam is trying again. And then the night came and the sun disappeared. And he says, no, I don't like that which disappears. And now, after people realizing, without him even telling them, but they understood the message here, that he took the opportune moment and said, I worship that one Allah who is always there, who is always living, who is in control of everything. The manner in which Ibrahim alayhi salam gave the da'wah also, invited people to Islam, correcting the wrongs of others, this was something unique and which the style of Quran makes it so evident for us to take this lesson, that there are many ways in which we can approach a situation, many ways in which we can guide people or try to guide people. One is different approaches for different people. That is what works. Sometimes you'll see among students also, you got soft students, then you need a soft approach. And sometimes you got those hard students whose need a little bit of sternness and strictness, then they will come right. So every approach is different. So Ibrahim alayhi salam understood the approach of his people, what was needed to reprimand them, to show them the correct way. So that was with regard to the manner Ibrahim alayhi salam taught the people and showed them their wrongs. So we should see whatever situations we might be in and look at what approach is most applicable, most better. And as we try the different approaches, yes, if that doesn't work, then we have to try different approaches, inshallah, to see how we can get that message across. Now we said that Ibrahim alayhi salam was a young boy when all this year was transpiring in his life. From a young age, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. And this is a point which inshallah we will try to speak on and end off for today, is that Ibrahim alayhi salam, if you look at the various incidents mentioned in Quran of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the du'as that Ibrahim alayhi salam made, so many du'as Ibrahim alayhi salam constantly made, ayat upon ayat of du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he turned to Allah. In everything was him turning to Allah Ta'ala. That du'a we have to make. That du'a is essential. And more so, if you look at the du'a of Ibrahim alayhi salam, one was for himself, and majority of the time, he included his family. Majority of the time, he included his children. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Then we see the other one, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا. All these years was how he was including himself and his children, making dua for the kids, making dua for his progeny. So we see now in today's time, alhamdulillah, we have youngsters. And from a young age, we have to build that capability from within them. We have to build that iman within them. The excuse of saying they are too young, leave them when they grow up, that is not part of Islam. That is not something which is found in Islam, that they are too young, let them play, let them live. And now we see when a child is 16, 17, still parents are saying, no, my child is still too young, leave him, let him grow up, let him just enjoy himself. But look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, Quran says a young boy, a young lad, with such iman, with such understanding. And if you look at the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, who was also of such a young nature, when that test came, that now to be sacrificed. And same time he told his father, fulfill the command. Fulfill the command. Don't even think about it. Don't even ask me. Now let us think about it. What was the cause? What was the reason that they reached such heights? Was it because we said, just leave them, let them play, let them not worry about it when they grow up, then we will teach them? No. Rather, from their young age, they were inculcated with the good habits, the good behavior. And something which is actually should be spoken on a different topic, a different day, inshallah. But we'll just touch on it, that what is seriously going down amongst us Muslims, especially the Muslim youth, is the behavior, it is the character of our Muslim youngsters. That we find that what that respect that was found before, that understanding, that awe of the seniors, of our parents, of our asatiza, that is slowly gone. And this is due to one primary reason, is that we feel that our children are too young. Just leave them, when they grow up, we'll teach them. But behavior and character and respect is something that has to be nurtured from a young age. From a young age, if that is not instilled in a child, it's something which they grow up with. It's nothing that can be put in later. Not like knowledge that can be learned later. Behavior and character is something that has to be instilled from a young age. And from that age, they grow up with that understanding. You know, always I used to think that our asatiza, alhamdulillah, should teach us so firmly when it came to respect, when it came to character. Our parents as well, they were very, very strict with this regard, how we should talk, especially if we got visitors, especially to our mother, our father, the words that should be used, how we should walk behind them, the shoes, straightening of our asatiza, and the manner in which we should speak in front of them. And then we had those years that came, I remember, where we had those people, those modernists that used to say, now, why are you being so much respect? Why is so much respect being shown? What is the straightening of the shoes? What is this bringing the water? And they wanted to challenge all of these things. They say, what is this with the Quran even, holding the Quran like this? And that just made me think more and more that these were the, what we'll say, the items or the means of us getting full respect in our lives. By us walking behind our parents, behind our asatiza, by straightening their shoes, by sitting up, walking, whatever it is with them, and in a manner of respect, that they created a mindset of respect. That created a mindset of respect, understanding that through these small actions, but our minds was getting framed to have respect for all those around us, for our seniors, how to talk to them, never to think of ourselves as superior, how to ask a question. All this we see is being lost today. For the simple reason that we are not following what Ibrahim alayhi salam had showed us. That from a young age, Allah showed us Ibrahim alayhi salam to be of such a caliber. His son Ismail alayhi salam to be of that same caliber. That Ibrahim alayhi salam understood that this is what characteristics in me I need to part with my child. I need to teach him so that he can become successful also. And we need to look at it. Are we making a society, a future generation that's of laziness? Are we making someone, children to come tomorrow? Are we not passing on the needed information, the needed knowledge, the needed character, and the needed respect that is needed for the future generations or not? A simple example will end up with today, inshallah. We find many a times in the maktab, in the madrasas, in the shifts classes, where this excuse was never ever heard of before. Never ever heard of in years of past that the parent coming and telling the ustad, you know, my child can't make it for morning madrasa because he's going to be too tired for school. He's going to be too tired during the day. And then you think to yourself, the child as it is, he got the hours of madrasa cut down for him. Yeah, children used to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, go for his class, finish 6 o'clock, half past 6, go to school, finish school, straight after school, go back to his class, finish again 5 o'clock. And they still got full of energy to go and play soccer and cricket, whatever it is after that. Now parents are coming, no, my child is going to be tired. It's too dangerous for my child to leave early in the morning. This is where that mindset is being instilled in the child of laziness. That everything else first and deen second. Everything else first and deen bring that there second. So I know we drifted off there, but inshallah that gives us the time for another time to discuss whatever needs more to be said, especially this aspect of our upbringing and the character of our kids. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we look, as these days are coming forward, And if you study each incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we'll see so many lessons, so many ways which we can get closer to Allah Ta'ala, in which we can see how Ibrahim alayhi salam taught us. And that is why Allah Ta'ala has made it part of our deen of Islam, these times of the year, these actions of Ibrahim alayhi salam, for us to remember not only the story, but to remember the lessons that Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to teach us, and Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted to share with us and to keep it alive as us, in order for us, as Ibrahim alayhi salam became Khalilullah, we too to become the friends of Allah Ta'ala, to become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. And all that comes through sacrifice, all that comes through the test. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was known for his sacrifices, and he was given the certificate that he has passed, and not just passed, but passed with flying colors every single test that Allah Ta'ala put his way. He passed it, he completed it, and there was no room to ever doubt the status of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the greatness of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah Ta'ala, in these days that are coming, let us read more of Ibrahim alayhi salam, read more of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and see how we can get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Jazakallah khairan.
Mufti Amulana Sahib, Jazakumullah khairan for that wonderful message. Make dua for us. Inshallah, we'll meet you next week again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
نسألك
يا من هو الله الذي لا إله.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.